Yeah! We're mixing it up today! We're gonna sneak backwards, so have a seat. I'm gonna sneak now, and then we're gonna have the worship at the end. Much more of that. So hope you enjoy a little mix-up. It's nice to freshen things up once in a while, isn't it? Change things up a bit. Nothing wrong with that. Today, we're gonna continue our message series, He Wants to Pump You Up. He wants to pump you up. And today we're going to be talking about God's empowering presence. God's empowering presence. I put a little teaser on Facebook. And I said, what is the one thing that you can do that you know will result in more strength, more peace, more joy? And I put parentheses, I'm not talking about a beach vacation. that kind of works too, right? It works for me. But you can't guarantee that with a beach vacation because it could rain the whole time you're there. I've been there, done that. Not this year, thankfully. I mean, you could run out of money. Who knows what could happen? So it's not a guarantee. Ron, can you bring the bass down a little bit on this mic? It feels like it's really whoa, like that. Sorry. Bring out the mid and bring down the bass. Thanks. A beach vacation is nice, but that's not a guarantee that you're going to end up with more strength and more peace and more joy. But being in His presence is a guarantee that you'll end up with more strength and more patience and more joy and more love and more forgiveness and more goodness, because the fruit of the Spirit is all of those things. So spending time in His presence guarantees those things. Now, I will give a little caveat, though. If you didn't hear the message from last week and the week before, the last 2 weeks of messages, sometimes coming into His presence, it's not Him, but it's us. We are so covered up with guilt and shame, it's not right, it's not the way God intends it. But you need to hear the last 2 weeks of messages before this week to really fully understand and embrace God's empowering presence. And the first part I want to talk about is in God's empowering presence is being fully engaged with God. Fully engaged with God. In the scriptures, we see this quite a bit, especially in the book of Psalms. David, the psalmist, the lover of God, the one who chased after God's heart, he was so good at expressing God's greatness in the Psalms. And he showed us how to be fully engaged with God. Point A, he had an ability to focus on God's greatness and declare it. One of the ways we can be fully engaged with God is by being focused on His greatness and by declaring. Again, if when you come into His presence, all you feel is guilt and shame, and you don't feel like you measure up, and you feel like, you know, you're beat up, then you can't declare His greatness because you're so focused on yourself. But if you want to hear a message, two messages, the last 2 weeks about that, go on our website, oldriverchurch.com, and listen to those messages that talk about how to be filled up with the fullness of God and how to understand the grace of God so that when you come into His presence, you can be fully engaged with Him in declaring His greatness. Psalm 48, 9 through 14 gives us a great example of that. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Oh God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory." You see how David is focused on the greatness of God? "As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. Go, inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour all the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He said, look, the best description I can give to you on what God is like is go to the city of Jerusalem and see the towers and the gate and the beauty of the temple and how strong and powerful and beautiful all combined together. That's what our God is like. That's the closest thing I can come to what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. I love that. He will guide us until we die. And another one, there were so many, I had to really pick and choose a few. But here's another great one. Psalm 18:1-3 says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. This is just worship coming out of David's mouth. It might have been set to music, knowing David's love for musical instruments. It probably was set to music. But he's saying these words, and this is our example of how we can be fully engaged in worship, is by saying the things that we notice about God, talking about the things that we notice about him, singing about his greatness. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me in my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Oh, I love that. I love that. Do you want to know why we're so passionate during worship? Because God has saved us from enemies. And we can't just come in and go, no, why are we like that? If I go to my son's football game, ask anybody who's been there with me, and they will tell you, I am a cheerer. I like to cheer. I'm going, go Max! Even at the big man competition on Thursday, the picnic, they had this huge big man competition. He had to push this tire that was this big, I'm not kidding you, and flip it all the way down the field, and then flip it back. Then he had to push a golf cart down the field, and then pull it back with a top rope. And then he had a trowler, is that what it's called? This steel monstrosity that the Ohio State Buckeyes used that we just done this year. And so he had to push that thing down the field. I'm going, go, Max! Go! Come on, because that's my son. That's my son. Not the other parents are young for their kids, but I'm young for my kids. Because that's how I am. I'm not going to come in church and say, I mean, do I have moments of holy reverence? Absolutely. There are moments when I'm struck by his goodness. That's good too. But it's not always the same. There are moments when I can't keep it in. You have to go, woo-hoo! Because I'm just so amazed at his goodness. Psalm 147:1-6. Again, listen to David's worship to the God. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. You know what else I like about songs? It's filled with exclamation points. I love exclamation points. If you ever read any of my Facebook posts, or you get an email from me, there will be at least 3 exclamation points. Some of their angels. I just love them. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. See, he doesn't say there's no one brokenhearted in God's presence. Did you get that? He doesn't say there's never been a wound. He says the opposite. He says he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. How great is our Lord! Exclamation point. His power is absolute! Exclamation point. His understanding is beyond comprehension! Exclamation point. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down to the dust. You see how God, David had a way of talking about and singing about and and focusing on all the great attributes of God. That's what worship is. We really complicate it up sometimes. Worship is pouring out the goodness of God back to me, saying, hey, God, I noticed this about you. It's just like when you're with your kids or your spouse or your sibling or your parents, and you say, wow, I noticed that you cleaned and cooked for us today, Mom. Thank you for doing that. You see, you're pointing out what you see that they do that you appreciate. Now I'm going to throw something in here that might challenge us a little bit. And that is, physical posture is not the most important component, but it is a component.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to prove it to you right now. Jen Fogarty, can you help me out? You know what you say? I'd rather not.
I'd rather.
Okay, that's fine. Roseanne, would you be willing to help me? Okay, Roseanne. Let's suppose that Roseanne called me up and said, hey, Sandy, you know, I really like you. I really like spending time with you. Can we get together and have lunch? And I would say, sure. Where do you want to meet? And she would say, well, let's meet at Berkwood. I like Berkwood. It's a good place. I like a lot of restaurants. See? So, you know, but Berkwood's a good. Let's meet at Berkwood at 11:30. Okay. And she comes on up here, and she goes to the table at Berkwood. She has a seat, and she's waiting for me to come. She just sits right there, and she's waiting for me to come. And I come in, but I come in about 15 minutes late, because I have a lot going on. Stuff's happening, and I had to have that extra cup of coffee at home before I came. And so I mosey on in about 15 minutes late. And then I come in, and I sit down. Oh, wait, I forgot a special prop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I come sit on. Down and she starts talking. You don't have to really talk, you just pretend to get you on the spot. When I sit down, and she's talking to me, and I'm focused on the phone. And then finally, I put away my phone, and she's still talking to me. And I'm like, or I can't even do this. Time of being a follower of Christ There are times when sinning is good, and there are times when it's good to break out of your comfort zone and do something you don't normally do as a sign to Him that you're fully engaged. Whether it means dancing like David does up here, or whether it means jumping, or whether it means shouting, or whether it means raising your hand, or whether it means hugging yourself, or whether, I don't know, there's so many. I've seen people lay on the floor on their faces in worship. It doesn't matter what it is. What matters is, are you fully engaged in His presence? Are you fully engaged? Are you otherwise occupied? Why do I stand up here during worship? Is it because I'm the pastor and that's what's expected? No. I've known plenty of pastors who didn't do that, so no. And you know why I do it? Because I'm weak. That's why. Because if I'm back there, I'm more likely to get distracted by the happenings around me. So if I'm up here, I can't see any of that, and I can be more focused on God. That's why I stand up here. That's why I sit here. That's why. Because it's easier for me to pay attention. I'm not saying it's that way for everybody, obviously. You know. Would I love to have everybody standing up here? Absolutely. It'd be fun. It'd be a party. It'd be a worship party going on. It'd be great. But again, I will not judge you for physical posture, but I challenge you to ask yourself, am I fully engaged? Am I fully engaged? I can't even see you, so how would I judge you? I'm up here. My head is forward. Very rarely will you see me even turn around and look. Very rarely. Why? Because I want to focus on what God is doing. I want to focus on what He's saying. That comes to point B, listening to Him. Worship is not just about telling Him how great He is and declaring His goodness. It's also about listening to Him. I get my best ideas without fail during worship. Whether it's worship at home or worship in my car or worship here on Sundays. Without fail, my best ideas come. Why? Because they're not really for me. They're from the Lord. He's the creator of the universe. There's no one more creative. So He has good ideas if we listen to Him. Number one, under B, what is God saying about me? That's one thing that I'm learning to explore more than ever before. Because I really wasn't taught this growing up. I wasn't taught to ask myself, how does God see me? How does God see me? I told the elders at our elders meeting a few weeks ago, I said, vacation was extra special for me this year for some reason. And the 5 days that I had at the beach with my boys, I felt like I was looking into God's mirror, and I don't really have a great relationship with mirrors, but God's mirror is different. I felt like I was looking into God's mirror, and He just kept telling me all the things He saw in me that were great. It was really awesome. He kept telling me how He sees me. There's a couple of passages that I thought were worth looking at in regards to this. Song of Songs 4, 9 through 10 says this, and this is the man speaking in Song of Songs, but most theologians believe it's allegorical of God speaking to us, His bride, okay? And it says this, you have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. Can you imagine God sees you as a treasure? You have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes, with a single jewel of your necklace. Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine. Your perfume more fragrant than spices. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. You see, that's why after spending time in His presence, fully engaged, you walk out with strength and peace and joy. Because He created us to begin with. He knows what our deepest needs are before we even know what they are. And so when we come in His presence, He has an ability to pour out and meet those needs. And we walk away going, I am pumped up. I am pumped up. This next passage, there's kind of a funny story. I had gone to this conference at a church here in town for the weekend, but I was really torn because I wanted to be with my kids too, and they were at home that weekend. And so I went to the conference on Friday night. It was great. I stayed late. Then I came back and I went to the conference again on Saturday morning. And I was feeling torn because I wanted to be at the conference, but I wanted to be with my kids too. You know, I love my kids. And so I said, well, at lunchtime, I thought, I'm just going to leave, even though I know the conference is going to be fantastic and I'm going to miss it. And maybe there was something I needed to hear there, but I really just feel like I want to be with my kids. So I went home to be with my kids. And the kids wanted to sit down and watch some Office, The Office, the TV show, The Office on Netflix, right? Most of them are okay. Some of them you have to fast forward through, but most of them are okay. And this one happened to be one where, who got married? Dwight and Angela, is that right? Okay, that's right. So Dwight and Angela got married, and Kevin, now if you've ever, how many of you have you ever seen that show? This is gonna be funny for you, the rest of you, sorry. Kevin was reading a scripture from Song of Songs at the wedding of Dwight and Angela. It is Kevin, way, you know, and so he goes, my lover said to me, I can't even do it, my lover said to me, rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one, look, the winter is past and the rains are over and gone. And when he started speaking it, I'm like, God, you don't just speak to me in conferences, you speak to me through The Office? Really? I'm telling you, I felt it coming into my heart from my father. I felt it coming into my heart. He said, the flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the grapevine, the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. And I'm not diminishing the conference. It was great. I'm going to keep my church today and they have a fantastic afternoon. But you see, God meets us where we are. He knew my mother's heart to come home and spend time with my kids. He said, no problem. I'll just speak to her through that. No problem. That's what he says about us. He says, you're my fair one. Come away with me. Spend time with me. Come away with me, my treasure, my bride. Point two, what is God saying to me? And most of us are like, oh, I don't want God to tell me to do anything. Because it's going to be scary and it's going to be, no, it's going to be great. What is God saying to me? There are times when God says to you when you're in the middle of worship, go over and give that person a hug. Right? Call your mom when you get home. Call your dad. Call your sister. I mean, there's so many things that he can ask you to do. Maybe he just wants to have you sit at his feet for a little while. Come hang out with me. Come away with me. Be my love. Let's have some special time together. What is God saying to me? I mean, I didn't have any points under that because there's too many points. It could be a million and one things. It's infinity, you know? What is God saying to me? But don't forget to listen. Is he saying something to me? If it involves guilt or shame, it's not from him. It's not from him. Because he's taking care of that already. If it involves praying with someone, I prefer, the policy of this house is that a woman prays with a woman, a man prays with a man, or like if I feel like I'm supposed to go pray with a man, then I bring either his wife into the process or I bring another person into the process. We just want to be smart here, that's all. You know. Sometimes we think God is telling us to do something and it's really just us. We want to do something. We don't want to go there. But what is he saying to you? What is he saying to you? Listen, step out in faith. Will you miss it sometimes? Yeah, you will. You will. I have. I will. That's all right. There's no reward without risk. There's no reward. There's no gain without some kind of risk involved. Just listen to him. Point two, not only do we get to, I should say, fully engage with God, but we also invite God to come with. Ever met anybody from Minnesota? Anybody? I know, yeah. And this is what they say, I'm going to the store, you want to come with? And that used to crack me up. I'm like, with you? With somebody else? Like, I used to teach English, so I need an object of the preposition. No, they said, you want to come with? You want to come with? So I said, I'm going to use it, even though there's no object of the preposition there. Invite God to come with. Point A, in the daily, Psalm 91:1 says, those who live. Some passages say those who dwell. Some passages say those who abide. Those who stay in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You don't have to just have rest in the shadow of the Almighty when you come to church on Sunday morning. You can have it every day. You can have every moment of every day. Invite him to come with you in the daily. Psalm 84, 4 through 7. What a joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. I don't know about your daily, but my daily can go from a valley of weeping to a place of refreshing springs on a dime. It just can't. But I love that promise. I love that promise. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue. This is your promise. You will continue to grow stronger. And each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Invite him on the daily. Also invite him in the battles. God, come with me in the battles. Now, most of us are really good at bringing God into the battles. It's the daily and the next point we'll talk about that we have a hard time with. It's kind of funny when you're in the battles, how I'm like, whoa, help! And then we wonder why we always have battles. Like, that's the only time we talk to God. He likes to talk to us, so he says, well, that's what it takes, I guess.
That's the normal setting for worship.
David was good at this. Psalm 13:1 through 6. I love David's authenticity with God here. He says, oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? Anybody feel like God has forgotten you forever? I have. How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. Then he turns it around like he always does. But I trust. That's the best thing you can say in a battle. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. David invited God into the heat of the battle. He didn't pretend. He didn't come before God and say, well, everything's all rosy, God. No. He got down and dirty and real with God. But he didn't stay there. He said, but I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice when you rescue me from my enemy. I will rejoice at your goodness. Psalm 83:1 through 2 says, oh God, do not be silent, do not be deaf, do not be quiet, oh God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies?
Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? At the end of the chapter, he brings them back around and says, they're going to get what's coming to them. I know they are. That's just how good you are. Bring God, invite God to come with in the daily, in the battles, and the last point, in the joys. I don't know why we bring God to the battles and then we forget to bring him to the joys. I think that's partly why vacation was so special to me, because I felt him in the joys. I felt him in the joys, like I just sensed his nearness with us. And it wasn't like I was going around praying all the time. It wasn't like that. It was just an awareness of his goodness and how happy I was to be with my boys and I'm in a beautiful setting. Psalm 16, 2 through 3 says, I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. You know, that's a really good thing to do once in a while. Look around and say, every good thing I have is from God. Every single good thing I've ever done is because of God. Every good thing that's been done to me or for me is because of God. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Oh, I like that too. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. Do you ever get out in nature and just get overwhelmed by God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do. I love nature. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Though their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. When I get out of nature, the joys of nature, when I'm just doing something silly, I don't know. There's something about in the joys of life, hearing my kids laugh, hearing kids seeing Noah up here worshiping this morning. No, but pointing at Matt, the guitar, is like, come on, man. Even did, oh, a couple times. Oh, that makes me joyful inside. So when I bring God into the moment, I bring God into the joy of that moment and say, God, you are so good to create Noah. You are so good to bring Noah into our world. And his enthusiasm for you. I love it. I love it. Can bring God, invite him to come with in the day, in the battles, in the joys. Now we get a chance, the reason I wanted to flip worship to the end today, we get a chance to fully engage with God. You know what? If you're worried about looking silly, don't. We all look silly. Even if you don't do anything, you look silly. So why not just step out and do something that does look silly? It's all right. Just be fully engaged with him. Look, I'm telling you, like I told you, there's nobody judging here about who's sitting, who's got their hand raised. Nobody's more spiritual because of their posture. But encourage yourself to step out and experience being fully engaged with God in a new way today. Even if not for all the songs, maybe just for one of the songs. A little bit by little bit, baby steps, right? But be fully engaged with your heart and your mind. That's what's most important. Be fully engaged with your heart and your mind. Okay, worship team, bring it on. Would you stand with me and just lift your palms up like this? And just say after me, God, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
I am fully engaged,
fully engaged
in this worship experience. I want to tell you of your goodness, and I want to listen to you. Amen.